just like it was cutting through butter. Well, it totally knocked me off balance, and I fell off the top of the 6-foot ladder. I landed on my tailbone, like really landed on my tailbone, and then on my back, and then it whiplashed my neck. It was like a 3-part landing. My tailbone, my back, and then my neck. And you know, it happened just like that. And I'm laying between the furthest distance from the house. I'm in behind the garden shed and the fence. It's about a 4-foot space there. And I'm flat on my back. And I've never had pain like that in my life for a long time when I hit my tailbone. And that I started perspiring. It was so painful. And I'm laying there, and I cannot feel my legs. I'm thinking, oh boy, Judy has just left for Kitchener. I didn't think Pat, my neighbor, could hear me yelling. And I'm laying there, and it's amazing what comes to mind when you're totally helpless like that. I just started thanking God for my family, thanking God that I have feeling in my leg, which I didn't at that moment. And then I could feel this really hot sensation on my leg. And so I knew my legs were okay, but I had scraped my leg. And then my right hand felt really hot. And I'm laying there and I'm looking, and it's totally covered in blood. So what I did, I didn't realize this, but on the way down, not a good thing to do, but I grabbed a hold of the barbed wire fence that was on top of my fence. And on the way down, and it just went, shoo. And it was bleeding, and it was pretty deep, and I likely should have got a stitch, but I didn't. So I'm just laying there, and you may think I'm kind of crazy, but I've always loved the smell of moist soil. It's just a weird thing I have. And so I thought, oh, it smells, the soil smells moist. And then I started just thanking God, and I tried to get up. I couldn't get up. And then the neighborhood blue jay that seems to think it owns the whole thing back there was annoyed that I had disrupted it in the tree, and it dive-bombed me. But there's 4 feet between the garden shed and the fence, and it comes swooping down about a foot above me and squawking like crazy and then takes off. So I'm going, wow, like, kick me when I'm down. But, you know, as I slowly got up, and I it took a long time to get to the house, and I'm just kind of walking and trying to walk to the house, it really occurred to me, life is so fleeting. And it can change so fast, so be thankful. Be thankful for things. Be thankful for the little things and the big things. So that's kind of my icebreaker, my intro into my message. But how many know have heard of Lance Wallno? Well, I listen to a lot of his teachings. I follow him on Facebook. I feel he has his spiritual ear very close to the ground and what's happening. And I was watching a video this week as well. And as I was watching him, I suddenly had a vision. And I saw this large hand pour liquid soap into a pan of grease. And picture it, as the drops of liquid soap touched the grease started separating. It started coagulating, is that the right word? It just went into circles, and it separated. And eventually, the grease disappeared. And I instantly knew what the interpretation of that was, because it was in relation to what I want to share with you this morning on the power of thankfulness. You know, when we develop a power or an attitude of thankfulness, and we drop that into negative situations, it can totally separate all the negativity and the grief if we have a thankful heart. Amen? Absolutely. And so my first point is having an attitude of thankfulness. And, you know, I just want to say this. Attitude is not so much what we say or do. It's what is deep within our spirit. It's a positioning, isn't it? It's a positioning of thankfulness in situations. So I'm going to read in Colossians 3. And if we could put up verse 15. Colossians 3, verse 15. I'm going to read starting at verse 12. And just to give you a bit of background to Colossians, does anybody know where and was written by Paul? Does anybody know where Colossians was written? In prison. Talk about being thankful. Paul wrote this, and he wrote many epistles in prison, didn't he? And so I'm going to start, and he's writing this letter to the church at Colossians. He hadn't been to Colossians. It was led by one of his converts a few years before, but he had heard of false teaching, heresy, creeping into the Colossians church, and it was causing all kinds of chaos. And so he wrote the letter of Colossians to the Colossians church. And, you know, I'm just going to read a comment later, but I'll start in verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. But above all these things that he's talking about, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And then verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And then a separate sentence, three very powerful words, and be thankful. Some translations say, just be thankful. Some say, and be very thankful. But the two key words are be thankful. And this verse 15, it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And I just want to share this because I think it could be for someone here. When you're about to make a decision, you should never make a decision when you're in unrest or you're upset. You should first come into peace. And this was a key verse for me when I decided I was going all the way over to the United Kingdom to Bible college. And even though I had to work through a lot of things, this scripture, let the peace of God rule in your heart, was always there. I continually had peace. I continually knew that this was what I was supposed to do. And you never know what is at the end of your decision. And that's where I met Judy over there. And the rest, you know, the whole story. But we were talking at home church last Sunday night. And Stacy and Marissa were talking about how God sets us up. And how we make one decision or someone. For me, it was I was traveling out west to visit a friend, and he ended up leading me to the Lord, and then your whole direction of your life changes. And Stacy said how she became a part of City Gate. It was through someone, I can't remember. And then Marissa, through Amy and Pat, became a part of City Gate. And you never know what's at the end of your decision. So my word of encouragement is to always be in peace when you make a decision, because you don't know the journey after that decision. And so you should really be in peace. But back to my message here. Two powerful words: be thankful. And after falling off that ladder, I am so thankful that I am just badly bruised and not worse. And that's why I was standing. I wasn't sitting during worship, because I didn't want to sit on my tailbone. It's just too sore. But, you know, Paul, and this is just a personal view, but the whole attitude of thankfulness was so resident in the life of Paul. Even in the book of Colossians, he mentions be thankful several times. He's thankful to God, his Father. He's thankful, be thankful, whatever. And one of the themes of the book of Colossians is to exhort us, to exhort the Colossian church to be thankful. And so that's a place, from that place, we can bless people. We can change people's lives by one little word or just one bit of encouragement. But the main trait, I believe, that the reason that was in Paul's life was he was so thankful for Jesus Christ changing his life. He was so thankful for Jesus Christ arresting him on that Damascus road. Because, you know, Paul had a very storied background. He didn't like Christians very well. And we can read the story where he, and get this, he had the legal government direction to punish Christians, to throw them in jail, to drag them out of their homes, to allow them to be murdered. Look at the life of Stephen. Paul stood and watched Stephen being stoned to death, and he could do so legally. He had the legal right from his governing authorities. I believe, and I don't know if that was Paul's thorn in the flesh, but I believe it was a thorn in the flesh, that in a sense, it haunted him, but in a sense, it just made him more appreciative of the unconditional love of God and how Jesus arrested him on the Damascus road, and where he was blind, whatever, for 3 days. Amazing. And I believe Paul never forgot how Almighty God would reach down through Jesus Christ and love him unconditionally, knowing full well what Paul had done to the believers. And I believe that never was far from Paul's thinking as he traveled, as he ministered, as he wrote the different epistles to the churches. It resonated in him. It was just part of him all the time. Such a thankfulness to God. And as I said, it was permeating in his whole being. And that's just my personal view. I can't say for sure, but Scripture does confirm that he was a very thankful man. I think we can agree on that. You know, one of the best things about thankfulness is that the more you choose it, the more you exercise it, the more you activate it, the easier it is to be thankful. And we've all met people in our lives, men or women, who you know that they are a thankful person. Just in your life, just think now of someone that you can think of who was just a very thankful person. And doesn't it make you want to be around that person? Doesn't it make you want to just to rub shoulders with that person because of their thankfulness, their position of thankfulness, their attitude of thankfulness? So the more you profess it, gratitude, the more you notice things to be grateful for. Because we have a whole different outlook when we operate with wearing the glasses of thankfulness. The thankfulness muscle responds to exercise. You know, I think it was Pam, you mentioned something about repositioning. At least that's what I got out of your mess. One of your points last Sunday was just a repositioning of the church in areas. And I believe more than ever that if we can have a repositioning of thankfulness in the church, man, we will influence the culture. We will change the culture, not only in our church, but in society around us. When we operate and live our life with an attitude of thankfulness. I know I'm just, I wish I could say I was thankful all the time, but this week was another life lesson to be thankful and to operate from that thankfulness. Regarding the church, I like what Danny Silk says. He says, we call our meetings, we call them services. And he says, it's kind of like a menu. And we serve up to the church. And just imagine, Danny has this kind of silly little voice when he speaks. He says, we have a menu. And what's on the menu today, Sunday morning? What would you like to be served? How would you like to be served? And he says, that's kind of what has been going on in the church. And so we need to shift from taking, receiving, taking in all good things, like, you know, teaching and all that, all good things. But I believe there needs to be a repositioning of thankfulness to see what we can give one another, or how we can love one another in those areas, or how we can love the way Jesus has called us to love. So I believe there needs to be a repositioning in the church. And that's one of the positive things of this whole COVID season, is there is grace. There is grace to change things. There is grace to reposition things. And I believe having an attitude of thankfulness is an aspect of repositioning. The power of thankfulness. We have no idea what the result will be. I'm going to read, I like putting quotes together. And even though this whole attitude of thankfulness is really about less words, isn't it, than speaking a whole lot of words, it's more about operating from within. But I'm going to read some quotes that I made up. Thankfulness has the power to change your outlook in situations. Thankfulness positions us to not allow our heart to be robbed. And that's a big one, isn't it? Because when we start thinking negative things, when we start looking through the wrong colored, the wrong glasses. It robs something in our heart. But thankfulness restores some things. So thankfulness positions us to not allow our heart to be robbed. And thankfulness, it brings a balance to situations. You know, we can be in a very challenging situation. But what thankfulness does, it just brings balance to our situation. It helps us to see things in a more healthy way. And thankfulness will open doors for us. There is I believe this with everything within me. There is a repositioning of thankfulness going on in the church. And I'm so thankful to be a part of that because that's how we influence society. That's how we change the culture. It could start within our family. It could start in our church, in society. That's what thankfulness can do. And as I shared earlier, I had no idea with me traveling out to BC how it would end up. But more and more, I am so thankful that Jesus arrested me, confronted me through someone out in BC. And more I am thankful that God came after me. I knew nothing. I was not raised in the church. I had no concept of church. And you know, sometimes growing up in the church, I'm finding has pros and has cons, doesn't it? Sometimes you have to relearn some things, don't we? Laura's nodding her head. There are many positive things about growing up in church. But you have to come to God. You can hear all the right things. You can hear all the scriptures. But God is looking for a personal relationship. And he will pursue you whether you have grown up in the church or whether you are so far away from the church. He pursues you. He pursued me, and I'm so thankful. And in my stumbling and fumbling, I've grown to appreciate God in a deeper way every day, and especially in this season. So I'm so thankful, Father, for sending your Son, Jesus. I'm so thankful, Father, that you have released your unconditional love to the world. Amen. I purposely have had a shorter message this morning because of Thanksgiving, and you guys are likely going for Thanksgiving lunch and that. You know, when you have a shorter message, you really got to make it count. And you cut out the fluff, but you really got to make it count, and you got to really make that sword sharp. So, I want to say this. Sherry said this back to me in the spring. She said, "Mac, I am thankful to God that I wake up in the morning with breath in my lungs. As long as I have breath in my lungs, I am thankful for Jesus and I will praise God." When she said that, it instantly reminded me of the scripture, "Death, Where is your sting? Because operating in the power of thankfulness, like Sherry did, and it was so evident, especially in the last couple years. And we can all agree that Sherry was very thankful. Because you see, operating in the power of thankfulness nullifies negative things in our lives. Thankfulness is adjusting the atmosphere around you, isn't it? So when we're thankful, we're adjusting the atmosphere around us. When we're thankful, we're releasing heaven into an earthly situation. Amen? Thankfulness is working good out of an evil situation. And I saw the power of thankfulness in Sherry's life and how it impacted her, but how it impacted me and others around. And a number of you are nodding your head. When we operate in the power of thankfulness, man, we are dispelling any grease of negativity with that liquid soap of thankfulness into a situation. We are releasing things that we should never be holding on to. When we are having the power of thankfulness, we are dispelling and destroying and nullifying any power that the enemy has in our life and in the life around us. That will change the culture around us. That will change the culture of my life. That will change the culture of the church, of families, and it will change the culture of our nation. And I believe the time of the church to be repositioned into having thankfulness in their lives and living it out is now. The power of thankfulness, nothing can stop that because it originates from God. It originates from God. And we to take heaven and bring it down into our life, and we get to release thankfulness around us. And that will change culture. That will change lives. But mostly, it will change our life. Do you agree with that? Amen. I want to say I am thankful for every one of you in my life. I am thankful for the way you have challenged me, impacted me, and loved me. So I just want to declare for the record, I am thankful that the power of thankfulness is operating in your life as well. I want to leave you with a challenge. Starting today, and for those who are watching us online, I want to challenge you too. This week, I want you to think of one thing, at least one thing, that you can be thankful for. And I want you to speak to someone and speak that over their life. You can start, say, I am thankful for, and whatever God puts on your heart, I want you to speak that. I want you to declare that over someone this week. Would you do that? The power of thankfulness. If you allow it to operate in your life, you will never be the same. Look at the life of Paul. And as I shared earlier, how what he came from, his background, and I believe that's why he was so thankful and why that oozed into his letters that he wrote, because it was deep within his spirit, that thankfulness. So don't let all the negativity that we see out there, and trust me, we see lots. I see lots. There's some days I come home and I have to wash a lot of negativity because people come in to the post office and Mish, you cut hair, you hear it, you know, it's there. And it just seems like it's starting up again. And so if we operate from a thankful heart, that will dispel that any grease of negativity that wants to come on you. Amen, in Jesus' name. So I want to end with this, with a prayer. I say, Father, thank you for the gift of thankfulness. Thank you, Lord, for the gift that you have given to us to be a thankful people. And Father, I want to say that we are so thankful for Jesus. I'm so thankful for, Father, you sending your son, Jesus, on the cross to bring me out of darkness, to bring me out of negativity, to bring me out of the grease of life into your marvelous light. And thank you, Father, that there is only darkness when we don't allow your light to come into our situation. So, Father, I thank you for the light that results from being thankful, being a thankful person, being a thankful people, being a thankful nation. In Jesus' name, amen.